point of view on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
All right, we are now into the second hour of the show, which is our healing hour, because today is a Tuesday. And we have in studio today Anele Siswana, who is a registered clinical psychologist as well as traditional healer. Welcome to the show.
Good evening.
Did I introduce you correctly?
Just missed one thing there.
Go ahead.
I prefer to use the word spiritual healer.
Oh, okay.
Because
I was wondering.
I'm not yet a fully fledged traditional healer in the natural sense.
Okay, so spiritual healer as opposed to
traditional healer.
Explain the difference.
So as I've said, that I have not fully yet undergone all the rites of passages that would then give me the status in the context of where I come from, call myself Iqhiqha.
Mm-hmm.
That is within the Xhosa context.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm a gifted human being, which my gift operates within the context of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So my gift as a healer is that which has made me call myself a spiritual healer rather than a traditional healer.
Mm.
But also I have my reservation around the context and the problematization of traditional healers. If you look at the history of the Traditional Healers Act back in the apartheid regime, that traditional healers were perceived as witch doctors and everything else around that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I do not want to associate myself with a term that comes with a lot of what we have seen in social media, that when people see izangoma, traditional healers, already people assume that ngumthakathi.
So how do we deal with that? Let's start right there. As you are saying, you know, the perception about healers being abathakathi.
It's a socially constructed reality, because there is evidence that makes people talk in that way.
Mm.
All we know in social media, particularly now, and there are key traditional healers that we have seen in the media, whom their work has less to do with healing, but has a lot to do with something that looks like witchcraft. I mean, if you're going to talk of Uktwala, Uktwala is in a sense of wanting to expand on your wealth, not out of hard work, but wanting to enlarge your wealth using izlwane, that is certain animals, wild animals, snakes, you name all of those. There's no healing in there. There's black magic. If you're going to talk of Uktwala, also again, of people whom you assume that they are called when they are not called, but Batwele, for them to be able to see and then start using imiti to do whatever that they need to do. So that has really created a lot of discourses around ubungoma. And we only focus on ubungoma, forgetting that there are other forms of healing and being healers, like Xhosa. We don't have izangoma. We have amagqirha. That is divine healers. Amagqirha, not traditional healers. Because they work a lot with divinity and African deities that have to do with the divinity. Most of the time, amagqirha would not need to use amathambo. Because umoya already opens it up. However, through training, we can be taught on how to use that to know. So a lot of what we then see on social media represents only one form.
Yeah.
Even ubungoma is a construct from KwaZulu. Izangoma, that is, they are izangoma from KwaZulu.
Yes.
We've got amakhosi KwaZulu. Abatswana may call it differently, but the dominant form of what we know, which is a prominent thing as well, that I've seen to be a problem, that everyone who happens to have a gift, it means you've got red and white beads. Whereas some gifts are only operational and can only be functional when you followed the path Hence, I say I'm not a traditional healer, but I'm a spiritual healer, because once I've undergone those rites of passages, then I would have full authority to call myself igqirha. But now I can call myself umuntu womoya, because I work with the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the knowledge and understanding and representations of my embodiment as a spiritual healer within the context of kwaXhosa, I do that because I am born into a family of amagqirha. So it's a construct that's normal at home.
Let's go there and help us unpack that. Umuntu onomoya, as you're saying, such as yourself, as a spiritual healer. Define that specific type of healing for us.
Okay. For me, that kind of healing is, I'm not trained. It's innate. It's intuitive. It's divinely inspired. So already, that divinity in the way of how I understand it, and this is out of my theological understanding that I've had to study theology to really understand and to how to make these intersections, that my spirituality has been firmly grounded in Christianity.
Okay.
Because I grew up in a family that recognized both worlds. So ekhaya, we would have umthandazo, who would pray even before rituals, to acknowledge that who we are and those whom we are calling to be in communion and in community with us are God's creation. And so we need to acknowledge uThixo uQamata uMveli Ngqangi, to say we know that these departed souls are with you in the spirit. However, we understand the place of prayer, the place of divinity in the context of that. So at one stage, I thought I had a conviction for ministry. I almost went to theological seminary in the Methodist in Peter Maritzburg, because I had this conviction of ubizo. Now, coming to what you said, ubizo lwam has always been spiritual. But then through understanding my journey and through discernment, that this spirit ona solo moyo nawo ngokuphilisa, to heal through spoken word, through prayer, through the laying of hands. However, my ancestors, they could not have gone to university at that time. They probably said, for us to be able to understand and to be able to be a channel and conduits of this kind of healing that we have gifted him with, let's take him to school to open his consciousness and understanding, and to understand the capital that he needs for him to be able to be the healer that we want him to be. And so I went through the psychological training to be a clinical psychologist. But right in there, I've always had this thing that this thing for me is not just a career, but it is a calling. That when I heal someone, when they walk out of that door, they say there's something that has shifted. But I've always wanted to understand what is inherent about my ability to heal. Then I went back and I understood that ekhaya ngamagqirha, but also my great-great ancestor, whom her name was Noma Xhosa, was a healer. And she worked a lot with the spirit. And I could safely say she was a psychic medium. Because she used less of emitting. So my healing gift has a lot to do with my lineage. However, I have then now amplified it by going to school. And then now I'm able to bring all of these intersections of my spiritual faith, my theologies, my doctrines of what I know as a Methodist, but also knowing very well I'm trained as a Western psychologist, and I trained at Rhodes, so everything was Western. But in my training, I had started questioning a lot of things, like, how come I do not hear my voices in this curriculum? How come am I only told of Freud, whom does not understand makungena umuntu in the office, I burp, or I happen to feel the sense of intuition even before this person says something? Then I started engaging on asking, is there something called African psychology? And African psychology, again, opened a room for me to understand the place of healing, the kind of healing that I do. It's within the context of umoya.
Okay. When did you now say, you know, it's innate. It was always there. When did you know that you had something supernatural? Let me call it supernatural for now.
I think I got to know it later in my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And for the longest of time, I've always been intuitive of trying to why things happen the way they do. And I had a lot of deja vus as a young boy. And all of these deja vus had to do with amagqirha.
Mm-hmm.
And the sound of the bits of his gubu drums.
Mm.
And I would see myself wearing a clay, like the white clay of amagqirha. I never really understood what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there's been kind of several incidences in my life of my childhood. One of them was hit by a car that affected my entire neurological functioning. So I've got something that is called temporal lobe epilepsy and mild traumatic brain injury as a result of that, because the car hit me on the left side of my cranium. And since then, I started feeling some odd sensations.
Mm.
But I used to struggle a lot with headaches,
mm.
which now I got to understand later that it could be the impact of that. But I've always been a dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
I would dream of things, but there's a consistent theme throughout my childhood and now. Water, a mines. It could be a river, it could be an ocean. But it had always had to do with waterfalls and rivers.
Mm.
And I had no reference of these things. And as time went by, in 2017, I think I got my, I call it my Damascus moment, where I severely got ill to a point of being admitted to a psychiatric ward.
Mm.
My psychiatrist then thought I have a nervous breakdown. And thanks to her for her being very pedantic about how she did her assessment, and she realized that there's a strong element of spirituality and how I make sense of the world. And so after her treatment, she said, not much we've gotten out of MRIs, not much we've gotten out of CT scans, not much we've gotten out of ultrasound and everything else that's medical. Can you go back home to really find out what's going on with you? And that's when I consulted.
So you were already a psychologist
by then.
Did you have a sense of what's happening to you?
I had an understanding, but it was kind of superficial at that time.
What did you think as a psychologist
at that time
was happening to you?
I must admit, my solid understanding of African spirituality and my calling was not as solid as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, there was still a strong element of ministry and the minister in me.
Okay.
And thinking that whatever this calling might be, if this is it, will land up at church.
But physiologically, did you think it was clinical?
Yes.
You thought there was something clinically wrong with you?
Clinically, as a psychologist, there was evidence, because there's a traumatic brain injury.
Yes.
Which automatically, sure, it will,
yes,
lead to neurological disorders.
Yes.
And there's an evidence of depression.
Yes.
So for me, yes, I was really scientific about it.
Yes.
And I said, no ways that this could be. But at that time, there was already engagements with someone that I thought would be helping me in the journey. So there were two concurrent processes. But the spiritual, I used a lot of logic in it to try and justify how come this would be the case, right?
Mm.
It was very difficult for me to find that. But clinically, I was convinced I have depression. I took medication for epilepsy, and that medication changed my entire life. I struggle with body image and desirability because that medication, the side effects had to do with weight gain. So I developed another depression because my life had changed. So the focus changed now from anything spiritual, but to focus now on, I am being depressed because I'm fat. I'm depressed because I'm not getting any better, up until a solid understanding. And at that time, I was working as a lecturer at UJ. So my life was happening well. But like, I don't need this inconvenience of having to twas.
Oh, so let's track back a little bit. Your psychologist says go home.
Yes.
You go home. And what happens there?
I go to a prophet. Mm. And oh, at that time, there's so much of and then issues, man. I don't remember any experience of having joy with the car. All cars that I've bought. Mm. So there was another incident with the car. Mm. Like, no ways, I need to go and check again. Mm. It can be a third car. Mm. And another thing happens. Mm-hmm. And I was told there, put unabantu abadala. I'm like, not me.
What was your understanding of that initial diagnosis?
I automatically thought of amagqirha. Amagqirha are uneducated people. They are poor.
Yeah.
Mostly of them, they are in the rural areas. So my construct was so modern for me to see myself in that space. So there was resistance in there, but also there's history in the family.
I was going to say
that relatively only one person became a healer, truly, throughout all the rites of passage. Probably it was my great grandmother.
Yes.
My grandmother, my mother, my aunts, all of them.
No real reference immediately
A healer that I can see working, working.
Yeah.
But all I've heard was trauma, was disappointment, was waste of money. Mm. And I said, I'm not going to be one of them.
Hmm.
And that's what the point of my resistance.
Oh, okay. I understand. So you are resisting because of, as you're saying, waste of money, trauma, and other things that you've been told.
But I couldn't see myself as a queer. No.
Yeah.
That life, you know, when you're a trainee of umagqirha, you wear chickens on your head, inyongo. It's hectic, man. You're like, the presentation does not look appealing at all. And I said, no ways, walking barefoot. I mean, I'm a psychologist, this is what I do with this.
From Rhodes, for goodness sake. Let's take a quick break and I'll take your calls for your questions. Absolutely fascinating. Annelise Sana is my guest, registered a clinical psychologist and spiritual healer. So we are at a point where you have been told, look, unabantu abadala.
Yes.
And you say, absolutely not me. I'm a psychologist from Rhodes. I am not of them. So what changed?
I think my conviction and also realizing that my ultimate purpose is to be a healer. However, for that ultimate purpose to reach its full culmination, I can never achieve that without having to accept the gift first.
How did you get there?
I got to, thanks to Tez, one of the mediums, out of my moments of destitute and desperation in life, went to Tez, and Tez told me, your great-grandmother is here. She's so fierce.
Hmm.
She says, you must stop being confused. And I'm like, what is this woman talking about? She says, tell him, I am the source and any reference of the healing gift that he is. In fact, every trajectory in his life, I have been involved. I am his first mother in the spirit. And that is my great-grandson, whom is my son to me. And she said, my name, tell him, I am Nomakhosa. That was a life-turning moment in my life. Because even how I used to connect with Umsamo, it was the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
I got to know who was Nomakhosa, who was married to my great-grandfather from the Digli Dolutlangamandla side. And gave birth to my grandmother. My grandmother got married to Wasiswana, that is Amanguni, Amagao. So I've always reused my father's, my paternal surname, clan names, Uzulo Makeba. And she says, tell him that's nonsense.
That is what we do, though.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Tell him that's nonsense because I know nothing from them.
That paternalistic instinct is what
I am the force, the feminine strong energy in your life. First, those people disrespected me. They never paid in Kaulo. So how are you going to refer yourself to? And lobukhosi bakwaZulu, yes, it's a thing for them, not for you. That was my turning point. Then I went back to fix umsamo wasekhaya. It means now,
yes,
I needed to first call amatolo, amajili, and realign that the day that happened, I didn't even need to use to do many rituals for me to find that sense of connection. And my grandmother said, once you fix that, you now have a direct connection with me. That maukhulume msamo, you say, makhulu nomaxhosa, and I will respond. I tell you that at the end of the day, I left my job. Actually, I was told, leave, because it was time for me to leave. I met Tess three months before my resignation, and I delayed by 1 month. And the girl said, I'll show you. I was just told off, there's some whistleblowing happening because you are doing a lot of public intellectual work and it contradicts with the time of the university. Then I knew.
It's time.
It's time to leave. I didn't have a job. I didn't know anything. But because my grandmother had said, ubizo lwakho is innate. Never trust anyone to say, Zoktwasisa, I'm going to open this. She took me a journey through that reading of every memory that connects me with my grandmother and her in the spirit, that then confirmed that they were real healers. But she then said, when you will be a conduit of what I couldn't be on earth, because there were no resources.
Mm.
How blessed am I? I can safely say, Tong, because there's alignment, there's that purpose, and the sense of knowing. When I wake up, sometimes my body in the flesh says, I'm tired, I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But the spirit says, what else you would be doing if it wasn't for this? And my answer says, nothing else but to be who you have called me to be. And that's the conviction.
Well, how blessed are you to get such a clear message, such a clear,
I wish I would have known it better,
direct message from the source.
From the source. And since then, she's like, don't over rely. I don't consult too much.
Mm.
Because once you consult too much, people get to see. And this is when I also got awakened to reality that there is so much jealousy in this spiritual world. Like, guys, we're all gifted in different ways. So why are you going to be like a giraffe to look it's in there for me when you've got yours?
But as you said, even after that, your journey was not smooth.
Even it's not
you
smooth.
You bumped into all kinds of people, ne?
3 days, no, last week on Wednesday, I ended up in ER.
Oh, wow.
My temperature was 40 degrees. I didn't know what was happening with me. Got admitted, drips and all of that. Then this guy says, you just have an infection. I go, what infection are you talking about? Following day, I needed to be admitted to see a special endocrinologist in Park Lane. Stayed there. There's no blood I didn't do. Came out there on Saturday afternoon. The doctor still says, I don't have your diagnosis. And I had made a promise.
Yes.
That Gogo,
yes,
I have said yes.
Yes.
It's time. I am going to do this. But now, my logic says, I need a budget, I need money for this. And she says, I'm not taking no for an answer now. So what the spirit does when you don't listen,
yes,
it creates these temporal inconveniences.
Yes.
I'm usually fairly good financially.
Yeah.
I imagine. Why
do you think that happens? Explain that dynamic.
I think for me, it's calling you to a realization that this is not yours.
Mm-hmm.
And we want you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But reality says, objectively, and I'm like, oh, Makulu, but you have made me buy this and this. Like, even that, you don't own it. I have nothing that I can call it mice. It's Annelie's thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when she takes it away, it's more like, say, I want you to see the difference when you are Annelie and when you are Annelie of the spirit.
I'm in charge here.
Yes, but now
we are in charge here. You're not in control.
No, you're not in control.
Yeah.
So the conundrum that then happens, illnesses, misfortunes, it's not to punish you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to lead you to a certain level of awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the Bible.
Mm.
Apostle Paul had needed Damascus.
Mm.
He knew that there was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But he needed that Damascus moment for him to change.
Mm.
Moses needed a burning bush.
Mm.
Jeremiah, he had a lot of things. He said, I can't do this. So I consider myself to be Jeremiah sometimes. Like, yo, I find all sorts of reasons. I'm young. Makula, I just want to live my life. Can you just leave me alone for now? But she says, no, you can do all of that once you do the right thing. So now I'm in a phase of doing the right thing. But the right thing would mean a complete change of lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go and live in Makaya.
Mm.
Because the Tongolam is a very old, ancient ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole Jobic thing, going back to what we spoke about, Hi, Shem Yehambil. I paid more than 200,000 a pehlweni.
Oh my gosh.
For nothing that never materialized.
Oh my word.
My mother doesn't have a smeg in her house, right? A full set. That lady has a full set of smeg. I was at the verge when Siswami of buying, of actually doing financing for a car she needed. That is far it went. Because she could see Lendon Gaiboni Mina and try to do ama corners. And Ukoko said, Usogasbone. And Shem, the fight that is still happening even now, it's more like she says, I will only be happy when you are 6 feet under.
So how do you explain those detours?
I explain those detours for me. I consider it as a temporal inconvenience I needed to understand, because I would not have known about Ubungoma. She didn't know anything about being Xhosa and this Xhosa. So she relied on my sources and hearing my family when it speaks. But because my mother is a healer, she said, no ways.
But I want you to explain these detours because it happens to so many people.
Yes.
You hear so many people say, you know, I have no problem. I have accepted. I am here. I'm committing.
Mm.
But lands at the wrong place, right? So how do you explain that? So you now have a direct channel to Gogo.
Mm.
How do you land there?
Now, after that consultation with the medium, to go home, right?
Mm.
I went home.
We met. Umsam.
Yes. Yeah. No, before Umsam, we met Igqirha.
Okay.
Of irrelative Vesekaya, according to lineage. I Shem, that's where I saw. Whatever I was doing, it was not even prep school.
Mm.
It's something under prep school.
Mm.
Nothing close to what Itongo wanted. In fact, Ben Twaliso. Yeah. Being in his Luane, basically. I never dreamt. I wouldn't use a matamba, I would use Ingondoyan. But I just wanted to get over and done with it. But I didn't know that until I needed to see a healer. And I needed to go for cleansing. I never know of these things called intanga, that these things that abando inyanga is kupai in my body, because those things are spiritual markers of the dark world.
Mm.
It's more like they capture you and all of that. But through the consultation with Gagala Sekaya, I then got to understand into nubizolam, and it's purely ubaidgrich. And even him, the reason why that gave me a strong conviction before I came on that day, Ngayothandazelwandle in Ebizana. It's far from Mount Freya. But something said, go there. By the following day, I said, let's go to Igqirha. When I got there, already that guy had dreamt of me, which was a sign for me that the spirit is leading me. That was last year, March.
Mm.
Till this day, we have not done anything. Because he said, those detours and what you need to do now, you need to trust Itongo Lako.
Mm.
that whoever you land up with, it would have been Itongolako. It's a very frustrating journey to discern. That's why people end up in wrong hands,
mm-hmm.
because they put their faith and hope in the person.
In people.
Even the very same people that abangokobela, they become gods with a small g. They make you realize and feel that you need them for this to be successful, whereas they need Itongolako for that alignment to be true. I've been told many things, Pimela, that I will die, accidents, wara 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 wara. And I said, if it's meant to be and if it's God's will, it will be. But never again I waste my money and my time. So I'm in the process of the spirit now. And pooping your tonga.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it means the tonga is already at work.
Mm.
I dream a lot of being at school, which is a sign. I dream a lot of amanzi. But all my dreams do not take me any close to Joburg. But all lead to Kwabhaca. And the reason why is it lead to Kwabhaca, onka matongwe nginawo, I laid there. So I'm a friend of Mount Rea, Kwabhaca, because that's where my data is of the spirit. My network becomes fully charged when I'm there. I don't need to eat a makobongo. Hey, people pay 10,000.
Pause. 086-000-00-959. It's... Jeez, call in, ask a question, make a comment, your experiences, 086-000-00-959. You speak a lot about water. Just quickly, an explanation of the significance of water in dreams.
It depends on the context, again, and your lineage. Itongolako, iliyini, igqirha, isthunywa, or prophetic kind of conceptualization of your gift. How I've understood it in my subjective experience, abantu basekhaya ngabantu bomlambo. Meaning that abantu who connect a lot with amanzi. But specifically, amanzi omlambo. It could be a stream, it could be a waterfall mostly. And it's across something, I don't know, in other languages called isiziba. That river that is so deep that you can't go in.
Yes, I understand isiziba.
Yeah. So when I go to isizibeni, I might have been going through the most angeni. Because we believe there konaba niggas balandao, whom we are not strong enough to face them if we're to get in.
Okay.
So I haven't been to Emanzini. I go to the ocean, but I haven't been to Esizibeni, because that's the ultimate sacred space that connects with Itongolan. So for as long as I have not done the rites of passages that I needed to
do,
I'm not allowed to go there.
Got you.
Because I would find a crocodile, it will deal with me. Whenever, when we have done what we call ukhosa imvumakufa, and all the rituals now that then connect you, because I say now, I am the, I'm either a router, but in network, it's not yet connected for the data to start working.
Got you.
So I'm at that point that is very fragile. So dreaming of water is an affirmation that Itongo is at work. And remember, Itongo is symbolic. It can't be in the natural physical sense. So I know when I dream a lot of water, it then suggests that ikona a process ends a guy that needs me to go to Emsamo to ask Utini Makulu.
Let me take a quick call from Lungile in Benoni. Hello, Lungile.
Hello, Pimelo. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
I'm well, thank you. And hi, Anele.
Hello, Sisun. Tamago.
Yes. Although you sound a little bit low and far, guys.
Don't worry, we'll fix it.
No problem. Sure, I've been listening to this program today, and it's quite interesting because I've also gone through, crazy hell with the calling,
mm-hmm.
meaning that I've been from one gobela to the other,
mm.
and at the end of the day, you still don't get what you are trying to achieve,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think where we all go wrong, if I may just say, is that we don't listen to our ancestors. I think that's the I think that's what I've realized and learned from my experience, you know. Sometimes, as Anel was saying, we trust these gorillas and they become our God,
mm.
if I can say, our God, you know?
Mm.
And at the end of the day, you get misled so bad that, you know, even ancestors now start shifting away from you
mm.
because you're not listening. But with my first gorilla, I dreamt a lot
mm-hmm.
and I kept on telling her, you know, of what I had dreamt. And she really did not listen. She kept on doing what she wanted or what she knew. And she never listened to what I am dreaming and all the instructions that I'm giving to her, you know?
Mm.
And I promise you, from that day on, I felt empty. After like a month or two, I mean, I stayed there for 6 months. And after 2 months, I stayed empty. And something kept on saying, go. And I didn't. I didn't want to because I'd been through a lot in life, you know, through divorce, car accidents,
mm.
money, financial problems, and all of that. And you know, after I had gone to a gorilla, I thought to myself, you know what? Or after accepting the calling, rather,
mm-hmm.
I thought to myself, I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to go back. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, this person was just not listening to what my ancestors were saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Where are you at now?
Now I'm at a point. I've done Isithunywa, Sikhuphuliwe, as Anel was saying.
Mm.
I've done Umdawe and Umnguni.
Mm.
But I'm still in a point where I'm not sure whether I'm at the right path.
Mm.
Or I'm not sure if I'm done with what is required from me by my ancestors.
Mm.
Because no one, my experience is like his, not in my direct, you know, line of family, was a Sangoma or
yes.
practicing,
uh-huh.
You know, yes, mm. not no one, not even my grandmother. I'd hear my grandmother saying, which Gubo, there's a lot of, you know, spiritual healers and Gubo KZN, you know, spiritual healers and whatnot. We'd go there, I would see them, but I've never experienced it firsthand, you know?
Yeah.
And then my mother was also told when she's got the gift, but she really refused. She was like, I would pray because if my mother had said no, why me?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Then me, now when I started going through all the sufferings that my mother had gone through,
mm-hmm.
I then said, you know what, I'm taking this journey. I'm Gogo, I accept, Coco, whoever I accept, I am taking this journey. And I promise you, only now I've got a very good spiritual guide. As much as I'm not really there, I just only met this woman 2 months ago who's now guiding me. She's a medium. And she's guiding me because my ancestors now are coming through her saying exactly what I need to do. My first step was to go do ilobola for umkulwami, who did not lobola my grandmother from the mother's side.
Mm,
you know,
mm.
That was the first step because then I have a madlozi from Gabo Mkulu, I have a madlozi from Gabo Mam, Gabo Koko, then I have a madlozi from Gabo Baba. No Baba who had not paid in Kaulo, but Antoine had to do that with my stepmother, but it had to come and pay for in Kaulo for me because now Umtuana is sick and having this problem. Yeah, but from this side.
Mm-hmm.
And I am grateful they did that.
Yeah.
Now we've passed that part. Now it was my mother's part, which now, because my mother my mother got married and she got divorced. Then I got married and I was divorced. Then my sister, Zabez and Bawam, they also not married. Then this woman said, the problem starts here. Where umkulwako was shot out koko from Islung. And they did not go through ukshata and isintu. Therefore, your ancestors are now pulling each other from left and right and center.
Mm.
Yeah. So the journey is not easy, guys. And
yeah.
I'm listening and I'm...
Wow.
Yes.
Sorry, Kogman. Tell me, Buza. Ungumkhosa okanye which
kind? I'm a mixture of umZulu and Shangan.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah,
Utwase Isunguni.
Utwase Isunguni is umdawu and is tunywa sikhuphuliwe.
Angwazi isend indlela yakho.
Isend,
yeah, ngoba until you connect ngelithongo lakho, the exact ancestor, ukuthi phakuphi umnombo, basically ngophi umlando welithongo onalo, and go the right trajectory. And it sounds that a lot of what you have comes a lot from your maternal side.
Yes.
And if that's the case, it means you need to go deeper to understand who was the healer and what type of a healer this person was. And if these people are coming through strongly with with the medium side, it's very indicative that unesipho that is prophetic, more than ubungoma. However, it sounds that ubungoma, you went for training to know the techniques, but ubungayela ngithongo.
Exactly.
So when you know the semantics, right?
Yes.
What to do, but the channeling of itongo lakho, even the problem is even it's when we do these things generically. So
curriculum,
it's not a curriculum. We realize, but like Ukoko was saying, she has told amatongo like uti atina amatongo, but the Gobela persisted working with his or her curriculum. Mm. Because at the end of the day, there's money here. Mm. We can't run away from the over-commercialization and the abuse that people go through under the gaze of people saying, like, people, I always say, guys, how can you be a healer in 3 months? Mm. Because I consider ukthwasa for me in two ways. Mm. There's a training aspect of it, mm-hmm. but there's also an unlocking of itongo lakho for it to work. Mm. So how do you do that in 6 months?
Yeah.
And so, by the way, we are 13, eh?
Yeah.
Under one Gobela.
So, oh, of course.
So where do you get the time to descend and understand what a Tongo Lam needs? And at the end of the day, when we graduate, it's in the same uniform. Mm-hmm. Whereas Tongo Lam, mm-hmm. but they apply a white clay. Mm-hmm. But Magobela has no reference of that.
So for those who are stuck, let's say stuck, you know, and have, I guess, surrendered, have accepted, but are finding themselves, you know, feeling lost in a way. What must happen?
There's this thing that people say ukthwasa is a trend. Mm. And there are two ways about it. It could be yes or no. But if you ask why has it became that it's so prominent now, a lot of us, we are not called for ukhlola. No, one of my friends, this is Kosi Jen, once said to me, hey, Anela, tell me, why or how come itongo lam can say, I want you to be an engineer, or I want you to be a scientist? Why do you all have to go through this to be all healers? And that opened my mind, because at the end of the day, not all our ancestors were healers in the natural sense of being healers. They had specific gifts. At the same time, some of us, we are awakened to do izinto zomlando wakithi, ulungisa umsamo, abantu abadala bahleliseke kahle, wenza onke amasiko nezithethe zakini, and it ends there. Mm-hmm. Now, people mistake signs for a symptom. That ngiyaphupha, ngiphupha amanzi, and all of that. Whereas it could be everything else that relates to your lineage. But those signs are not an indication you're on nobizo. However, a Gobela who's always on the move and on the rush, uzathi signs are a diagnosis. Then you're going to land up in wrong hands.
How will a person know who, like you, did not have reference that is close by, and like Ulungile,
go back,
you know,
home. And if your home has no reference of that, chances are izoqala ngawe. You are not an ancestor. Even itongo lakho will reveal things in the way of how it was to you. In my dreams, I have never dreamt of red beads, but it has always been blue, white, and black. Those are all colors to do with Xhosa lineage. Any healer that will come to me and say I'm a Stwasa Obukeha or Obungom, then I will admit you in a psychiatric hospital.
So, you're going home?
I am going to go home because I need my deliverance. I shame get broke. I just came out of hospital and girl says, I'm going to make you feel it until you do the right thing.
Home to stay.
Home to say yes officially.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain rites of passages and rituals that need to be done. First, to connect you in a tongue lako, so that unga rely on the data of your gobela. I don't have a gobela yet, but I have an appointed person by Amatongwa Giti that he needs to be approved before he can facilitate lomsebenzi when vumago for yasekhaya. And by the way, angizange nenze imbelego. So it means me na ngqalawa A imbelego yakulo mama.
Yes.
That's going to be done to connect me na madlozi asekhaya that I've not been connected with. And then do intwa intambo ufake intambo before you can actually ufake umtsimbi yemvuma kufa, because that's the ultimate stage of me now saying I am willing to serve, but you must do whatever that you want now, not in my flesh but in my spirit. That's why you go to emlanjeni abantu, but you do, it's very intense, it's a whole week.
Let me ask you this. You say I am going because ngizwile, in a way,
yes,
right? Would you have surrendered if it wasn't this painful?
Certainly, yes, because of the soft life. I'm bringing another conundrum, right?
Yes.
I must say, Itongolam has been very faithful.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So I've got both sides.
That
the beauty
the
and
soft
the pain
life was because of Abantabata.
Itongo is at work.
Yeah. So that is to say, well, I like that.
I still like that.
I like that. So I'll hang around.
Yes.
Type thing.
Whatever you want me to do.
Yes. Okay.
But it comes from a place of understanding that if these are the signs that we will offer everything now, that every month out of leaving my job, I've not gone without. In fact, the house I have now and the car I drive now, my salary at UJ would not afford me that. But umsebenzi wabantu abadala, in whichever capacity that they give me, but I understand even the money before I can use it, ngibeke emsamo, ngiyocela ngoba yomali yami. Even if you are a 7 Gogo tells me when Buzo afford a moto. So there's that part. But genuinely now, I now understand. It's more like when you can see something is working, but there's just this glass ceiling that you always battle with. I can see Ngiyabona, but I can't go deeper than that. And now I understand. For me to be able to go deeper as umelapi, as umuntu umoya, there are certain rites of passages and certain rituals that need to be done to unlock these processes. So if I don't do that, I'm disabling myself. And I become frustrated, I become depressed, I end up in hospital because I'm trying to understand something that I cannot understand.
All the best on your journey, really.
Really,
really, really wish you all the best. It feels to me like you're on the right path.
I can feel that now. Yeah. Before, I was doing the right thing that I thought was right. And I wanted relief. And this is where, again, gobelas take advantage. Because you're desperate, they then take advantage of that. And we think, it's a modern way of doing it, Gandhi. Some other parts, I just have to go to Mount Frere. Where you go to Ilali and you're like, Guraf. But you have to do it.
I think you've got this.
Ngiyabonga.
I think you've got this. Anele, thank you.
Thank you for having
Thanks
me.
Thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. Thank
Point of View on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.